Thanks for joining us today on Mormon Land, where we explore news in and about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm senior religion reporter Peggy Fletcher Stack. I'm joined by managing editor David Noyce, who oversees our faith coverage. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Peggy.
We invite you, our listeners, to show your support for Mormon Land by going to patreon.com, where with a donation as little as $3 a month, you can access all the Tribune's religion coverage, transcripts to our podcasts, and the Mormon Land newsletter. Again, that's Patreon, patreon.com/ Mormon Land. Now for today's show. In the wake of President Russell M. Nelson's decree to remove the Mormon name from common parlance in person and in publications, the need to replace its use on the internet with the faith's full name was no easy feat. After all, members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were widely known as Mormons, and the faith even promoted a popular advertising campaign called I'm a Mormon, highlighting the lives and beliefs of its followers. The website Mormon.org featured those mini videos, while LDS.org went to the church's official website. Here via Zoom to discuss what it took to get those domain names changed and why church officials did it is Spencer Greenhall, who teaches in the School of Information Science at the University of Kentucky. Spencer, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, what prompted you to research the question of the church and its domain names?
Well, it actually started off as kind of a different project. Back in around 2020, Claremont Graduate University was putting together a conference. This was a couple of years after President Nelson's renewed emphasis on full names, avoiding acronyms and avoiding nicknames. And the kind folks at CGU knew that I had done a little bit of work on Mormonism and social media. And so they reached out and asked if I would be interested in presenting something there. And so it just started off looking at how Twitter handles were changing and that sort of thing, which by itself was very interesting. But at some point in the process, it occurred to me that I ought to check on the church's fancy new domain name, churchofjesuschrist.org. I was aware of a web archiving service called the Wayback Machine, and I knew that I could use that and see if someone else had owned this domain before Latter-day Saint leaders in Salt Lake City had purchased it. And so just kind of on a whim, I started to look at that. And I figured out that there was actually a very interesting history behind that. And so when I gave my presentation for the folks at Claremont Graduate University, I did talk about social media and I talked a little bit about domain names. But as I continued to move this forward to publish an article for people to read, I decided that the domain name question was the very interesting one.
So you just mentioned it, but the main way you traced its history was through that Wayback Machine. Can you explain a little bit what that is?
Sure. So there is a nonprofit, I believe they're a nonprofit based in the Bay Area in California. The entire nonprofit is called the Internet Archive. They are focused on archiving materials of all kinds that can be found online. But one of the most interesting things they do, at least in my book, is they archive websites. And so they send a program out that crawls the internet looking for different websites and takes captures of it at particular points during the history of those websites. So if you want to, you can go back to the 1990s and see what apple.com or google.com looked like at that point. And you can do the same thing with churchofjesuschrist.org as well. Although I may have to amend that a little bit. Since I started this project, it is no longer possible to see the history of churchofjesuschrist.org prior to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints acquiring the domain name. So I did end up having to look at some other data sources as well, because some of the original data I was using mysteriously disappeared on me.
How does that happen, Spencer? Can you make it? Can the person who owns that name go back and wipe it clean, kind of, you know, for a price or something? I don't know.
When I found this out, I reached out to the folks at the Internet Archive, and I have no intention of putting anyone there on the spot. The impression that I got is that those who control a particular domain name can have a certain amount of control over the history that is included on that domain name. Now, this gets a little bit tricky because you know, the most obvious explanation for this is that folks in Salt Lake were not happy with some of the history of this domain name prior to their acquisition of the domain name appearing in a public history of that website. That's understandable. At the same time, though, there is a question of whether they should be allowed to erase history that didn't belong to them in the first place. So there's a little bit of a complication there. It's impossible to say what really happened. The Internet Archive is very concerned about the confidentiality of folks who make these kind of requests. And so that they did not tell me anything clear. But if I had to guess, what I would guess is that the church wasn't happy necessarily with the prehistory of churchofjesuschrist.org, or at least the Latter-day Saint version of churchofjesuschrist.org existing out there in public.
Yeah. And some of that may come up in our discussion today a little bit, but let's just start with a basic. Why was it so important to the church to change the domain names?
Well, when President Nelson was putting an emphasis on full names, it was just that. It was full names, it was avoiding acronyms, and it was avoiding nicknames. And as Peggy mentioned at the beginning of the episode, the two main websites for the church at that time were LDS.org, which is short and snappy, but complete, but, you know, is guilty of being an acronym, and then Mormon.org is going to show up in search results really well, but it faces the problem of being a nickname, and acronyms and nicknames were both verboten with these new policies coming out. And so it was important for the church to be able to find a new way of a new name for its website that would meet its new priorities as it came to naming. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of members, they're very aware of the Mormon aspect, but I think a few are aware of LDS is verboten too, kind of, right? Has that been your impression?
That's a good question. I don't know that I've noticed it so much in conversations with everyday members of the church, but you can certainly see the church's emphasis in playing down the LDS acronym in some of the decisions that it's made since 2018.
Now, let's look at it from a kind of the internet perspective. What's the big deal about having a domain name? What's the advantage of having the domain name you want? What does it provide to the owner of that name?
Well, domain names are unique. So one way that I like to think about this is, well, I'll give a brief example. I'm traveling to Utah later this year. And one thing that I know about Utah is a lot of addresses, you know, work with the grid system. There are a lot of numbers involved. Numbers don't stick in my head very well. And so when I'm traveling to Utah, one thing I might do is I'll pull up my GPS app. I'll take one of these addresses and I'll associate it with a name that's easier for me to remember. So instead of having to remember number north, number west, Springville, Utah, I'll just write Aunt Julie's house. And then I have a name that the app will then turn into the actual address for me. That's kind of how it works with domain names on the internet. In that the real authoritative address for a particular website is going to be a series of numbers, but it's a series of numbers that's even harder to remember than a grid system address is for me to remember. And so really early on, the architects of the internet realized that we needed names that were easier to remember to translate into numbers. But one of the big differences between what I might do with my GPS app and how it works on the internet is that if I put Aunt Julie's house in my GPS app, that doesn't stop anyone else from putting Aunt Julie's house in their GPS app as well. For the internet to work, though, you can only have one name associated with each website. There can only be one churchofjesuschrist.org out there. And so that there can be a lot of competition for organizations and groups and businesses to get the name that they feel best represents them. And it's not out of the question that multiple organizations, whether they're churches or businesses or individuals, are going to be kind of fighting over the names that they want to be associated with their website.
So what name did the church initially want, and what were some of the roadblocks to getting it?
I suspect that, and this I cannot prove. So I am an internet researcher. I use data that's available to me out on the internet. Someone who is good at interviewing people and talking to folks might be able to come up with a different story than I can. But through tracing some of the records and the history of the internet, I've been able to come up with some interesting things. And one thing that I checked early on in this process was the domain name thechurchofjesuschrist.org. because if you pay attention to President Nelson's emphasis on full names, the word "the," even though it's a small word, is very important in the way that the church pays attention to this sort of thing. And if you will go all the way back to the 1990s, when then Elder Nelson was expressing some of his thoughts then about the importance of the church's name, he went out of his way to say that the word "the" was very important. So I was curious whether the church might be interested in thechurchofjesuschrist.org or thechurchofjesuschrist.com in addition to, or maybe even instead of, churchofjesuschrist.org. Well, it turns out that those domain names are held by another Christian church. That's perhaps not surprising. But what did surprise me is that this wasn't just any other Christian church. It's actually a church based in Pennsylvania that also traces its history back to Joseph Smith Jr.
So how did you get around that?
Well, that church still owns the domain name. They hold on to it. It's unclear to me, and again, I have a limited perspective with the data that I've worked with. It's unclear to me what kind of conversations may have happened in that time. Peggy, I think in talking with you, a church representative made the statement that there's been no formal attempt to purchase that domain name. I would be shocked, though, if the church isn't paying close attention to it. And I'd be surprised if the church hadn't, you know, wished deep down at least that they could acquire those domain names instead. But the way that things work on the internet is, I mean, well, at least with the market for domain names, is it's kind of a first come, first serve situation. Back in the 2000s, this Pennsylvania-based church was able to buy the names at the time. Apparently, Salt Lake wasn't thinking about it. And as far as the domain name system, so the organization and system that governs the use of these names is concerned, whoever got to it first, as long as they want to keep paying their renewal fees, there's no way to sort of wrestle it away from another organization. So even though the Salt Lake-based church is much larger and much wealthier than its Pennsylvania-based cousin, so long as the Pennsylvania-based church wants to keep that name, it's probably going to keep that name.
Let's talk about cost. How much does it cost to buy a domain name of this magnitude? Obviously, there are some big ones, McDonald's.com, you know, these big organizations. How much would it cost to get a domain name like that?
So that's hard to say. If you are going out and buying a domain name for the first time that no one has ever purchased before, it's probably going to cost you between $15 and $100. It's not that expensive. But again, whoever holds a domain name, so long as they want to keep it and so long as they're paying the renewal fees every year, they get to hold on to it for a while until someone comes to them with a pretty good offer. I know, for example, that churchofjesuschrist.com, which is owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there were times in the 2000s and the 2010s when its owners were offering it for sale for $20,000 or 10,000 British pounds, which is at least at the time a roughly equivalent price to each other. So the owners at that time thought that they could easily get five figures. Or at least that they felt like a good starting position would be $20,000 to start off with. That's not any kind of proof that the church bought it for that amount. It's only proof that the owners at the time felt like it was worth at least that much. But there are also records of domain names that have sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars or even for millions of dollars before. So these can get pretty expensive. It all comes down to how much money it takes to get one owner of a domain name to part with it in exchange for a certain amount of money.
So do we know who had the churchofjesuschrist.org and how much the church paid to get it?
Can I ask a clarifying question? Are you asking the domain name churchofjesuschrist.org
or yeah, the not domain the. Name? We know it didn't get the one with the in it, but it does have churchofjesuschrist.org. Who had that before?
So,
do we know how much it costs to get it?
We do not know how much it costs to get it. That is not a matter of public record. I wish it were a matter of public record because it would be very interesting to find out. As I said, right, it comes down to some kind of negotiation. What we do know about it and what we might have some reason to think that it was traded for, a little bit more than $100 is because this domain name churchofjesuschrist.org was also, to my surprise, owned by yet another Joseph Smith descended church, a very small church, a very obscure church. It's in the Independence, Missouri area. This is, you know, even folks who are familiar with the idea of multiple Joseph Smith Jr. descended churches are not necessarily going to be familiar with this particular group. So they're based in Independence, Missouri, kind of obscure, not a lot of them. We don't know much about this church, but they owned churchofjesuschrist.org for quite some time. And this is an organization that operated under the name Church of Jesus Christ in Zion.
So
and we don't know how much the church paid to get it.
No, So one thing that we do know is that the leader of this church is a former Latter-day Saint. So grew up in the Utah-based Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Obviously went off and founded his own splinter group, or he didn't found it, but he has been heavily involved in the leadership of this splinter group. We also know from some public statements that he has made on another subject that he has reason to believe that the church is out to get him a little bit. He has a conflict with BYU Hawaii. He believes that, you know, some negative press that he's gotten has come from Latter-day Saint officials kind of smearing his name. He doesn't necessarily have the fondest relationship with the Salt Lake Church that he originally grew up in. And from what we do know about him, he's a pretty tech-savvy guy. That seems to me to put him in a position where, you know, he'd be able to he knows how much this domain name was worth. I would expect that it traded hands for more money than I would want to pay for a domain name. I'll put it that way.
So Spencer, any person or entity that has a website, you know, that you always hope to get to the top of search engines like Google, if they'll type in certain terms that your site will land on that first page somewhere. How is that done? And can an entity pay to boost their position on a Google search?
So that is a process that is called search engine optimization. And that is partly a technical thing, and it is partly a marketing thing. And I am not a marketing professor, so I'll share with you what I know. But there are folks who know this stuff way better than I do. So yes, there are lots of efforts to work at sort of reverse engineering the way that Google works, or maybe other search engines, but Google is the top dog in the search engine game. And so if people are focusing on SEO, they almost always focus on Google. And so what happens is you try and reverse engineer how Google ranks different pages, and you start making design decisions on your website that are going to make your website rise in those rankings. And I know that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is concerned about its own SEO. There are undoubtedly people within the organization that are working to make sure that it is their websites and not, say, critics' websites that rise to the top of a search for Latter-day Saints or Mormon or Book of Mormon. And at least a decade or so ago, I met someone who was involved with a nonprofit or a volunteer organization. The exact structure wasn't entirely clear to me at the time, of folks who were almost volunteering their time and their expertise to seed these different websites out there that would speak positively of the church and help those grow in the rankings as well, to make sure that if you search for Mormon, if you search for Latter-day Saint, if you search for a related term in Google, you would get a quote unquote friendly site rather than something that was a little bit more negative.
So obviously lots of Christians consider themselves the Church of Jesus Christ. Did any other groups have that domain name besides the two that we've already talked about that are also descended from Joseph Smith? I mean, what about, I don't know, Methodists, other Protestants, the Catholic Church?
No, not as far as I can tell. There was at some point in relatively recent history, I believe it was churchofjesuschrist.com, that was briefly associated with some website referencing the Bible, but the records aren't entirely clear on this. I mentioned the Wayback Machine and the Internet Archive earlier. Even their attempts to capture the website were not entirely successful, and so we know there's an association with some Bible-related domain name. But other than that, it doesn't appear that there were other Christian bodies that were associated with this. However, that same domain name, Church of Jesus jesuschrist.com, which again is now used as a secondary URL, a secondary domain name for the church's main website, was operated for a time by a Muslim group that was apparently hoping that Christians would type in churchofjesuschrist.com and it would redirect to some sort of Muslim news page. I don't know much about this group, and it's obviously not 100% clear what their strategy was in doing this, but it is kind of notable that the players that we have vying for these domain names, we have three different groups that are descended from Joseph Smith Jr., and then we leave Christianity entirely when it comes to other groups that we can identify.
Spencer, your piece in Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought about this, explains the member and the church's desire to be accepted as and by Christians. Can domain names help do that? And do you have any evidence or sense, at least, as whether the church's efforts on this in its web presence is having that kind of effect?
That's hard to say. That's a really interesting question. It's certainly not something that I looked into when I was writing this Dialogue article. The internet of today is different than the internet of 20 years ago. There's a lot more reliance on, say, Google instead of just typing a URL into a browser. There's also a lot of reliance on just opening an app that is essentially recreating the content of a website. That doesn't mean that these names can't have a difference. And I think most importantly, right, the domain name that an organization chooses shows the way that it wants to present itself to the world. If you open your web browser today and you type in lds.org, it will still take you to the church's website, but it will take you in a way that sort of corrects you, right? Because lds.org will not appear in your browser. What will appear instead is churchofjesuschrist.org. And as a user, you're going to get a sense that, maybe this is what I'm supposed to use instead. And I have heard from Latter-day Saints who say, sure, but lds.org is shorter. I'm still going to keep using it, even though I sustain the profit.
It's quicker.
It's quicker. A lot easier. So it's hard to say. You could look at things like web traffic and that sort of thing. It's not something that I have done. But what I have seen in these domain names, there's a clear sense that, the domain name that an organization chooses sends a clear sign, just like what other organizations might call branding, even if the church doesn't necessarily embrace that language for its own efforts. It sends a clear sign for how it wants to be perceived. And one interesting thing that I have noticed is I feel like there's a pretty clear relationship between how the church manages its websites and how it wants itself to be to be perceived in the world. And that's true not only of the last few years, but going all the way back to the late 90s when the church started operating a website.
Yeah, I guess if nothing else, say a member types in, they're reminded once again, they're the Church of Jesus Christ, and you're going to have the church's symbol there at the top with the church's full name. And
absolutely.
And I guess if you're not a member, you might notice, so I guess it could have that kind of effect, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So what happened to Mormon.org? Does the church, you just said the church still owns LDS.org. Does the church still own Mormon.org?
Yes. So I think the church has been pretty smart about this. I mentioned earlier that this started off as a project looking at social media handles and sort of migrated into the world of websites. One smart thing that I think the church has really done is it's held on to everything that it's not using anymore. So if you type in Mormon.com, Mormon.org, Mormon.net, all of those are still going to go to churchofjesuschrist.org. Now, some of those, I haven't tested this in a while, so you might have to try it out on your own. I'm guessing Mormon.org would actually go to a subsite. The Mormon.org website was traditionally a site for outsiders who wanted to learn more about the church, whereas LDS.org was more for insiders who already knew what was going on. So I would guess Mormon.org would take you to a subsite of churchofjesuschrist.org that is sort of directed more towards an outside population. But throughout the history of the church and the internet, it has held on to everything. Because, the worst thing that could happen, well, maybe not the worst thing that could happen, but something pretty bad that could happen is if it were to let go of Mormon.org and then someone else takes that and they operate it as a site that's critical of the church or that's just irrelevant or makes the church look bad in some way. And so even if the church is focused now on churchofjesuschrist.org, it's going to hold on to everything that it owns. It doesn't cost that much to renew it from year to year. We know that the church can afford a few extra domain names. And so it's smart. It makes sense to hold on to everything that might be relevant. And some of the issues that I described in my article maybe could have been avoided if in the 1990s the church had bought every domain name that possibly relates to Mormon or to LDS or to Latter-day Saint or to Church of Jesus Christ. If they had done that in the 90s, then I wouldn't have an article to write, right? There would be nothing interesting to say because they just bought everything up at the time. And one interesting thing about this, go ahead, Dave.
No, go ahead.
So one interesting thing related to this is at some point when the organizations that control domain names, they liberalized what are called top-level domains, what we call .com or .org or .net. It used to be you only had a small set of those. These days, you'll notice a lot more organizations that use websites called .social, .pizza, .party. They've allowed for the creation of a lot more of these. If I remember correctly, there are a .LDS and a .Mormon that are out there that exist, and the church has bought the right to operate those top-level domain names just to make sure that no one else out there is running a site called church.mormon or church.lds. So they have control over those. I don't expect them to ever use them for anything, but they've clearly learned that it is in their to their advantage to hold on to as much internet real estate as they can.
I was just thinking, if only all of us knew what was going to happen on the internet 20 years ago.
I know.
it'd be different for sltrip.com too, I'm sure. Our life would be different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just tried mormon.org, and yes, it goes to a kind of a site for people who aren't members to introduce them. And it has the Come Unto Christ moniker,
yes,
which I think you write about in the dialogue article. That was like an early incarnation, right? Could you expand on that? Yeah.
Sure. So Come Unto Christ is a domain name that the church acquired it relatively early. And so when Mormon.org had been phased out post 2018, but before the whole Church of Jesus Christ.org had kind of come together, the church was using comeuntochrist.org as sort of an in-between domain name that they could use to still have this sort of outsider-facing internet presence. But then eventually, at some point, all of that got rolled up into into churchofjesuschrist.org.
Right. I guess it was kind of like a placeholder, maybe almost you could say it that way.
I think that's a good way of putting it.
Your piece at the end, you talk about how it's focusing on English language domains, of course, but you note at the end the church's global web presence. And I think you talk about Elder Rasband, Apostle Ronald Rasband, talking about the church's desires to do even more integration or messaging or something. What more might it want to do? I know we don't know, but what would be some things that the church might be interested in doing more in its web face to the public?
So one thing that I noticed while I was doing research for this is that the word consolidation kept coming up in official church documents. You mentioned Elder Ronald Rasband, and I quote him at the end of this article. He also used that word, and he makes it sound like that this is a priority coming from the governing First Presidency of the church.
He said, like, simplify, right, too.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And to my knowledge, this comment from Elder Rasband is the closest that the general public has had to an official statement along these lines. But another place that I saw it, for example, that the word consolidation is on a list. I don't know if it's still active. It was at the time that I was doing this research, a list of social media accounts that are operated by the church. And you got the impression there that the church was sort of rolling up some of those accounts, trying to operate fewer Facebook accounts, trying to operate fewer Twitter accounts, not spreading itself so thinly, maybe. Elder Rasband's comments were also in the context of a different language web presence. And so whereas you used to have, and I haven't dug too deeply into this, I'm taking Elder Rasband's words as authoritative here, whereas you used to have, say, an Argentina-based church newsroom and a Chile-based church newsroom and a Venezuela-based church newsroom. Those were all sort of being collapsed into a single South American Spanish language church newsroom. So it seems to me that at the same time that there is this new emphasis on naming coming on, that there seems to also be a desire for simplification. I don't know if that's a feeling that the church has spread itself too thin online, or it's trying to do too much, or it may be something altogether different. But that's a thread that I really wish I could have picked up and picked that a little bit more. And then, you know, maybe someone else will be able to do that one day. But I'd be really interested to, I'm sure plenty of people would, I'd be very interested to think, to hear how church authorities are thinking about the internet. There seems to be more going on there over the past 2 years than just the question of names. But all I have is the hints that there is something, some sort of priority going on. And I don't have a clear picture of what that is.
One last question, Spencer. Are there any key takeaways from this for, say, individual members?
For individual members, that's an interesting question.
Or just key takeaways overall on this subject as well. Yeah.
I think that this works well for individual members, also for scholars and for people of all kinds who are interested in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. When the church gets involved with technology, it is usually trying to build up its legitimacy, build up its authority, build up its reputation. But any technology that the church uses, and I have a wide view of technology, so I think this goes all the way back to Joseph Smith Jr.'s Seer Stone and comes all the way up to the internet today. Whenever you're using a technology, you buy into a system that treats legitimacy and treats authority in its own ways. And so even though the church's efforts at its websites to build its social media presence, these are clearly meant to forward the church's narrative about things. And that, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. All organizations do this. The church also has to play along. And in the case of the domain name system I mentioned before, the domain name system says that whoever got a domain name first gets to hold on to it. And in a way, the domain name system arbitrates theological disputes in a way that, like, maybe it was never supposed to, because it's all about this web thing. But so long as there's a church in Pennsylvania who wants to be the Church of Jesus Christ.org, if Salt Lake wants that, it cannot appeal to the domain name system and say, no, we are the true Church of Jesus Christ. We are the true heirs of Joseph Smith Jr. It has agreed to play along with the rules of this domain name system. And as so long as it's going to have websites and so long as it's going to have a social media presence, to a certain extent, it has to play along with those rules. And there's a really interesting tensions in there between the legitimacy that the church wants to build, but also the way that these socio-technical systems build, understand legitimacy on their own.
The title of Spencer's article in Dialogue is a Journal of Mormon Thought is The Correct Domain Name of the Church, Technology, Naming, and Legitimacy in the Latter-day Saint Tradition. Spencer Greenhall, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you both.
And thanks to Dave Noyes.
Always a pleasure.
And to producer Nicole Weaver. We remind our listeners they can keep up on all the happenings in and about the church by subscribing to the Salt Lake Tribune's free Mormonland newsletter. Just go to sltrib.com to sign up, and we'll talk again next time on Mormonland.